Praise the Lord. The title of the series is Lessons from Joseph. You will see as we go through this series, we will have different subjects, different topics, because there are different things that the Lord will want to teach us on the coming Sundays. Our message today is, you have a coat of many colors. Now let's go to the book of Genesis. We're going to read Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read some verses, not verse 3 only, but we'll read from verse 1. We will be using the New King James Version. Now, before we start, let us just pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to go through your word. Father God, in Jesus' name, we open our hearts to you now, that through this word, you will change us, Father. Your word is always meant to change our lives. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive that we be transformed by the preaching of your word this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the understanding that you're bringing us as we go through this word. All our hearts are open to you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us as you will, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's read Genesis chapter 37. We'll start from verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Why? Because he was the son of his old age. He did not love him because he brought a bad report of the brothers. He loved him because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. The King James Version, it says, he made him a coat of many colors. And that is our subject for today. The coat of many colors. We are going to go through the life of Joseph. As we go through the life of Joseph, there are two things that I want you to understand. The first thing is that the life of Joseph represents the life of Christ. So as we go through the life of Joseph, you'll be able to see Christ in the life of Joseph. Secondly, you will also see that now, because we are in Christ, we have the same favor with the Father as Christ had. So we can enjoy exactly the same favor that Joseph enjoyed, the same favor that Jesus Christ enjoyed, and we can learn certain things from Joseph. We don't need to go through what Joseph went through. We can learn certain things by just looking at his life, and then we channel our lives accordingly. So every time then, as we go through this series, expect that we will first cover what Christ went through, what he did. And then after that, we'll then cover what belongs to us, who we are, what do we have, to say then we can stand on that and live like that. And as I said earlier, we have laid the foundation now. We understand the real gospel. Because we now understand the real gospel, we can look at these things now and go deep in them. Now let's read verse 4. It says, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now we see a man here, Jacob. He has many sons. He's got 11 sons at this stage. And at his old age, the Lord blessed him with a child named Joseph through his second wife. And the Bible says the father loved the son so much, and he did not hide his love for his son. Now what we can see is exactly what Jesus Christ went through as well. The Bible tells us about Jesus Christ, how when Jesus Christ came to this earth, God made a declaration that this is my beloved son. Let's look at that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, when he had been baptized, this is talking about Jesus, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When you go to the story about Joseph, the father loved him so much, and then he made him a coat of many colors. Now when you look at Joseph, Joseph did absolutely nothing for him to deserve the love and the affection that he got from his father. He did absolutely nothing. He was just born. And the father said, I am so happy with my boy. I love my boy so much. And he started treating him differently to all his other sons. What did Joseph do to deserve this? Absolutely nothing. He was just born to the father. And the father wanted to show his love. You come to Jesus Christ. Here Jesus Christ had not done even a single miracle. This was before the start of his ministry. And all of a sudden the father comes out, and with a voice that is heard by everybody, the voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What had Jesus Christ done for him to please the father? Nothing. He was just born. Had he started doing any miracle? No. But the father understood what Jesus Christ had sacrificed. He had left. He had not done any miracle. He had not fulfilled even the calling to die on the cross for people. God started showering Jesus with his love even before he paid the price for our death. You must remember, if Jesus Christ went back to heaven before he died for us on the cross, he would not have completed the work that he was sent to do. So what is the father's reaction? Look at this. Because Jesus Christ gave his word to say, Father, I'm willing to go and do your will. The father sees that as it is done. And the father starts treating him as if he has finished the work. And the father starts saying what? He starts saying, I am pleased in you. How? Jesus has not died as yet. Because he has made the decision to follow my calling, because of that, I'm showering him with the blessings. And Bazalwane, I want to say to you today, we do not do anything for us to qualify for God's affection. He gives us his affection just because we are his children. Just like Joseph, that was loved by his father, with him having done nothing, just because he was the child of the father. Just like Jesus Christ, who had not done any miracle, who had not died for us already, the father started saying, I love this son of mine, this is my beloved son, and in him I am well pleased. And I want to say to you today, this is how God deals with us today. Because we are now His children, we have access to His affection, having done nothing, just because we are born in His family. You don't have to do anything for you to deserve the love of the Father. You don't have to do anything for you to enjoy the affection of the Father. You just have to be born in the kingdom. Jesus had not died for us here. But the Father is saying now, I am pleased with Him. He is my beloved Son. And He made it public. Think about Joseph. His father, he did not care what the other sons thought. What the father did was, he decided to say, I'm going to shower my son with love, and I don't care what others think. He started showing him his love, and everybody was aware that this child is treated differently. Think about that. And on top of that, he said, you know what? I'm going to make him a coat of many colors. That sets him apart from everybody else. I'm not just going to let him know how much I love him, but I want everybody to see how much I love him. And look at what happened. Everybody had attention. They looked at this boy when he passed. We all say that God blessed Jesus Christ. We say God used Jesus in many ways, because God loved him so much. And you must remember that Jesus Christ got that love from the Father. He received that affection from the Father before He died for us. Just because He had made up His mind to say that I'm going to do what my Father says, this is what happens. God is showering him with His love. Now, what I want to say to you is, when you make a decision to honor God, to follow what He says you must do, God starts treating you as if you have already done it. God is not going to wait for you to do something before He acts. God is a God of faith. He has faith in your words. He has faith in your commitment more than you may have faith in your commitment yourself. The moment you say, God, I am going to do this for you, God starts saying, I am going to treat you as if you have done that. Where do you get that from? You look at Joseph, that received the coat of many colors. Joseph had done nothing. God had a plan with Joseph. Joseph was going to deliver his father's children from hunger, and he was going to provide for them in Egypt. God had that plan. God, because of the big plan that He had with Joseph, He had Joseph enjoy the favor of the Lord. God did not wait until He fulfilled the plan. My brother, my sister, I want to say to you this morning, you don't have to wait for anything for you before you start enjoying the favor of the Lord. You can start enjoying the favor of the Lord today, right now. What is it that you are looking for from the Lord? What is it that you're trusting God for? Don't say, when I have done this, when I have made my confessions 2011 times, when I have prayed for 5 days, when I have done this and that, I've read the Bible through from the beginning to the end. Don't say, only then God will move in your life. God is now treating you as per His affection that He has for you. And His affection is never going to change. It stays the same, and that affection makes Him then to give you a coat of many colors that sets you apart from your brothers. Understand that you have the favor of God over your life. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to see something here. Let's go to John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. This is Jesus now. He is praying. He's speaking to His Father. He says, I have given to them the glory and honor which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one. Verse 23, I in them and You in Me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. The same way that the Father loved Jesus Christ is exactly the same way that the Father loves you. So when God said to Jesus, "This is my beloved son," God is saying to you today, "This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son." And the same love that he had for Jesus is exactly the same love that he has for you. So you have the right to walk in what Jesus Christ walked in. Now you must understand that Jesus Christ didn't all of a sudden, when he received the Holy Spirit, that is when he just ascended, and you know what, he got all the knowledge and the authority and the ability to be able to walk in the things of God. The Bible says when he was young, it was their tradition that children were taught the scriptures. And the Bible tells us that when he was 12 years old, he was found sitting with the Pharisees in the temple, discussing scriptures with them, and they were surprised by his understanding of the knowledge. So Jesus Christ came out and he started walking in the power that God had him walk in, not just because of whatever, but he had laid the foundation. He had spent time to understand who he was. That is why he managed then to walk in the power that God had for him. You and I have the exact same love as Jesus Christ has. We will be able to walk in that power under one condition: us understanding who we are in Christ. If we can understand who we are in Christ, what God has done for us in Christ, we will then be able to exercise and walk in what God has for us. That is key for us to understand. The same love that the Father had for Jesus. So don't look at Jesus and say, "Yeah, I wish I had the same favor as Jesus had." You have exactly the same love. God does not love you any less. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." Let's stop there for now. You are a chosen generation. He has set you apart from other people. You and I are not the same as the people of this world. We are completely different. And he says, a royal priesthood. It's priesthood. Different priesthood than the one that Israel had. Our priesthood is as a royal one. Royal means what? Of the kingdom. Of the kingship. Praise the Lord. We are kings. The Bible says God has made us what? Kings and priests. We are not just normal, ordinary priests, but kings and priests. Then he says, a holy nation, meaning we are separated unto God. His own special people. Do we always see ourselves as his special people? Oh, we feel like, ah, Hashem, God has got his special people. It's them. Me, oh, I don't know how, when God looks at me, probably just wishes he had somebody else. I'm a poor worm. I don't have all what it takes for me to please him. This is not what God is saying. He sees you as special. But now look at why. It says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The book of Acts, the Bible says, Jesus said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. You will be witnesses unto me. So people will look at you, they will see that you have been with Jesus. Because of what God will have done in your life. That doesn't mean that, you know what, you'll go out and witness. Of course you do that. But your life, my life, has to reflect Jesus Christ. God has called us to be a holy nation, His own special people, that we may proclaim the praises. When will we proclaim the praises? We'll proclaim the praises after we have seen Him doing something for us in our lives. We cannot proclaim the praises of God unless we have seen Him. So God wants us to experience God. He wants us to experience His love. And then we will be effective witnesses, because we'll be able to tell people, this is what the love of God has done for me. He has saved me. But secondly, that's not all. He also then came and became involved in my personal life. And look at what He is doing in my personal life. Barcelona is the body of Christ. God has called us to live above the standards of this world. We are saying amen to that because we believe it. Let us then pursue it with our faith. Let us pursue it that we start living differently. We are not subject to what is happening in this world. God wants to reveal His power through our lives. But if we do not allow Him to, He's not going to be able to do that. Because He uses what? Faith. Now the first thing that we need to do is we need to understand that we are accepted before God. God loves us. The same love that He loved Jesus with, it is exactly the same love that He loves us with. Let's close that chapter. So the issue is not that God loves us less. And we know that for Him to love us, it means He decided to ignore everything about us. He started to focus on His goal for our lives. He is now starting to treat us as if we have already done what He told us to do. Just like Joseph that got that special treatment. Joseph had a high calling upon his life. You have a high calling upon your life. Understand that because of the high calling that is upon your life, God is going to start treating you differently. Know that. You must understand that. Understand that. God is going to have you treated differently. You must look at the favor of God upon your life. Look at how God has favored you. Other people may have gone through certain things that you never went through yourself. Look at the stuff that God has protected you from. It's because of the high calling that He has over your life. The stuff that you went through, He knew that those things would not kill you. Think about this. We'll look at Joseph as we continue. This boy was thrown into a pit. He could have died there. But him being in the pit, did not kill him. He could not die until he fulfilled his calling. I'm saying to you and I as well, if we believe God, we will not die until we have fulfilled His calling upon our lives. God's love for us is already abounding towards us. He is already treating us as if we are the king that He has called us to be. Think about a prince, a little prince that is being raised to become the future king. Is that child treated with disrespect, kicked, mistreated? Is that what happens to a little prince? Never. That prince is treated like royalty. That prince enjoys the pleasures of being royalty. That prince enjoys the treatment that will be given to him when he becomes king. He just does not have the authority to exercise who he will be in future. But before he gets to that position, he starts getting treated differently to everybody else. So I'm saying to you today, you have a coat of many colors upon yourself. Understand that coat of many colors upon yourself, it is setting you apart. And God's favor is upon you. God does not care whether other people think anything about yourself. He does not care. His focus is on putting more and more of his love upon your life. He just does not care what other people think. That's the code that you and I have. Now let's look at what happens. This you must understand. Jesus Christ went through the same thing as well. So we as well as Christians will go through the same path. Joseph, because he had this call from God to deliver his brothers and father and mother from poverty and dying from hunger, that did not prevent him going through certain stuff in his life. The fact that he had this special favor upon his life, that did not prevent him from going through certain things in his life. Jesus Christ as well. Jesus Christ was destined to save the whole world. You know the rejection that he went through. He was rejected by his own people. He was rejected by the leaders of that time, and they sentenced him to death. That Jesus Christ was destined to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to sit on the right hand side of the Father as the Savior of humankind. But that did not prevent him from going through the rejection and the other things that he went through. So you have the favor of God upon your life. God has poured this favor upon you. It's not going to push certain things away from you. But you must understand that whatever comes your way, you have the ability to overcome it. It's not going to kill you. Amen. And let's look at what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Reading from the New Living Translation. This is after one of his disciples asked him, "Lord, we have left our fathers and mothers and everything. What are we going to get?" And Jesus said, "Yes, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now," not in future, "now, in return, 100 times as many," what? "Houses." Oh, hallelujah. Then some people, then they fall off here. How can you trust God for houses? Why should you have houses? The Bible says here, you'll have what? Houses. Brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. But then he said, along with persecution. So the fact that you are enjoying the favor of the Lord and you are enjoying all these other things, you must understand that Jesus said you will be persecuted. When you are persecuted, you'll be persecuted by people that will be used by the devil, who feels that you are making an impact for the kingdom of God. So people will start rising against you. People will look for things to use against you. They will come up with stories. They did the same with Jesus. They did the same with Paul, with Peter. They came up with stories. They fabricated stories to accuse these people. Those are the persecutions that we go through. But I want you to know that your brothers may not like you. that does not mean anything to your father. It is not going to stop your father from showering you with his love and affection. So just receive his love. So I want you to understand when you walk around, understand that I have the favor of God with me. Wherever you go, expect the favor of God. Expect people to treat you differently in favor. Expect that when you come, people will pay attention when you come in. Don't see yourself as a little person that will have no influence. Never do that. Understand that you have on you a coat of many colors. God's love is abounding toward you. So wear your coat of many colors with pride. Wear it with pride. Stand tall. Receive the favor of God. Now, in closing, I want us to look at the lessons. I told you that we'll look at the life of Joseph. We'll look at the life of Jesus Christ. And then we'll look at what can we learn out of this message. So I've got some lessons for us that we can get out of this. There are a lot of things that you can get out of the story of Joseph. And today we've just gone up to the first part where we discover that this boy was so loved by his father. And his father freely showed affection towards him. And as he freely showed affection towards him, his brothers had an issue with that. They started hating him. They didn't like him. And we've seen the life of Jesus Christ as well. When Jesus Christ came, God declared his love upon him. And when he walked on earth, the people, the Pharisees and the religious people, the Sadducees that lived at that time, they hated him. And they eventually plotted to destroy him. He was persecuted. He was killed. You must think about this. Jesus Christ was the owner of the world, the earth, the people that live on earth. His own people, one time they rejected him. They said they don't want him to come to their village. He said, let's go to another village. His disciples, the sons of thunder, the Bible tells us, they said, when those guys rejected him, they said to him, Lord, can we call down fire just like Elijah? Can we call down fire and consume these people? And Jesus said, you don't know of what spirit you are. Now look at this. These people found it in the Bible. Elijah called fire and destroyed the armies of the king. He killed 102 people. The king sent 50 with their captain, the first group. They said, oh, men of God, the king wants to see you. He said, if I'm the man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and consume you. Bam! They died. And the king sent another 50 with their captain, 51. And he said the same thing. Oh, man of God, the king seeks you. And he said, if I'm the man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and destroy you. The fire came down and destroyed them. And the third group, the third guy said, you know what? I know, please don't kill me. And the Bible says he prayed and God said, they are not going to kill you. Go with them. And he went. He could have done that earlier. But he did this after killing 102 people. And he went with them. And it seems as if it was the right thing. God did not judge him for that. So Jesus' disciples, they say now, let us do exactly what Elijah did. And these people, they are rejecting you, Jesus. You are the Messiah. They deserve to die. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Jesus was introducing the gospel of grace. God treating people better than they deserve. We should not treat people as per what they deserve. He was setting a good example there. And now we know that then he suffered then. He had to go. We passed that village. He had to find another place. He was mistreated. At one stage, they wanted to push him off the cliff. But Jesus, being the beloved Son of God, the Bible says he walked through them. We know Peter, at one stage he was in jail, and the church of God was praying, and the angel of the Lord came and took him out. The Bible says the angel came and kicked him. He was so fast asleep. This man was going to die the following day, but he could still fall asleep. How many of us would fall asleep if we know that we would be killed the following day? Not Peter. He fell asleep. The angel had to kick him. Wake up, Peter. And when he woke up, he was still sleepy, and he just followed the angel, sleepy as he was. And he saw they passed the first gate. Oh, they passed another gate. And when they were outside, then he realized, hey, I'm not dreaming. And he went to where the brethren were. Now think about this. This man was going to be killed. What did God do? He opened the gates.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he got him out. His task was not finished yet. But he did suffer going to jail. Jesus said, we will have what? The houses, the brothers, the sisters, the property, all these things, along with persecution. We need to understand that. So now let's look at the lessons that we can get out of this subject today. The first lesson is that the coat of many colors sets you apart from the rest, and it will stir different reaction from the people that see you. Some of you will have jealousy. Others will have admiration for you. Now understand that as a child of God. When God showers his blessing upon you, when God prospers you and people see progress in your life, it's not everybody that will rejoice with you. Understand that. And learn then how to treat people. Learn then to see that, okay, this is jealousy now. Okay, here people are recognizing what the Lord is doing in my life. Lesson number two. Remember that it is your Father that chose to give you the garment. You did nothing to earn it. So when you enjoy God's favor upon your life, you are getting blessed. You are getting prosperous as God wants you to get prosperous. Understand that you did nothing to deserve it. Don't think your little things that you do to honor the Lord and praise the Lord for his goodness are the reasons why the Lord is blessing you. No, you are doing those things to honor him. He has blessed you with stuff, and therefore you are giving back to him to honor him for the gospel to be preached further. That is not why God blesses you, but God has caused that when you give, as an example, that triggers your faith. Your faith gets released, because when you give money that you need and you say, I'm giving this for the kingdom of God, you are saying, I have faith that God is the one who provides for me. So all of a sudden, you've just declared that you have faith in God. And because you've declared that you have faith in God, God uses that faith then to provide for you. So it's not the gift itself. It is your declaration. When you gave, you are declaring that, God, I need this money, but because I trust you, I'm not going to hold on to this money. I will release this money. And God says, you have faith in me. And then boom, the Lord bless you. That is why there isn't anything about the amount that you should give now. To say, if I give 20 rand, then I know that there is a blessing upon the 20 rand gift. You must understand that when the Lord tells you to give an amount, God knows that that speaks to you. It speaks to your heart. So your heart is going to release. Your heart will declare that, I believe God as I release this thing, because I needed this money. I needed it. But now I have to give it. And as I give it, I'm saying, I believe, and then you'll receive. Don't do it because somebody forces you. The Bible says we must not give grudgingly, out of compulsion, somebody forcing you to do anything. Don't do it. If you don't feel it in your heart that the Lord is leading you to do that, just don't do it. Don't do it, because you will just be losing money, unfortunately. That is what will be happening. Praise the Lord. And you are a child of His great what? Affection. The same way that the Father loves Jesus, and He loved Jesus when He was on earth, it is exactly the same way that He loves you. He is not ashamed to show you His extravagant love. Remember, He said, you give a house, what are you going to get? 100 times. Oh, houses. Yeah, he said so, eh? Remember Mark chapter 10? He said, what you give it now in this life, you will have 100-fold return. We know then that God wants to do something very big for us. The Bible says Solomon was not clothed like the lilies of the valley. But then God said, God will clothe you much more than Solomon. We know that there has never been a king that has been as rich as Solomon. Never. And God is saying He is willing to give us much more than what Solomon had. Okay, I know this is not easy for us to understand. Exactly. It's big. It is big. Therefore, we need to take our time to see these things, because if we don't see them, we will not experience them. So God wants us to have 100-fold return of what we give. If I give 100 rand, 100-fold is not 200 rand. That is 2-fold. 100-fold is 100 multiplied by 100. And you must remember that we learned that when we give and when we do stuff, we don't do those things to receive. We see a need. God calls you. He shows you there is a need. And He has provided you with finances. And then He says, can you use the finances to meet that need? And when you respond in closing that need, God says you will have 100-fold return. Do you see what's happening there? The motive. You're not giving to get. You are responding to the need that God said, close. And now you must understand, at times it may not be that you will know the need, but God will speak to you and say, I want you to give this person. Just giving you an example. Give this person money. And you don't know why. You don't know what need do they have. As you do that, you find that God had already a need that He wanted to meet in their lives. You were not even aware of that yourself. You come, you give your money here in church, not because you are told to give your money, but you're giving it because you are praising God. You are thanking God for the provisions that He has made for you. And God prompts you to give a specific amount. God probably is aware of when will we need that money. And so that when that need arises, we already have that money present. Or it could be that there is a need already and He wants to meet that need. But when you gave, you were not giving to receive. Bazalan, and that I want to stress. I want to emphasize this point. You don't give to receive, please. Give to praise the Lord. And as you give with a pure heart As the Lord leads, you remember now, we are not led by the rules. We are led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 7 verse 6. We are led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, no longer the law. So we don't give because we are told to give a 10% or something like that. We don't give because of that now. We are giving now because the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do good works. And as we do that, Jesus said, we will have a hundredfold return. So let us then believe God. When God puts a seed in your heart to give, then just start praising God. Thank you, Father. I receive the hundredfold return. Can you see? You did not say, hey, I need 100 rand. Now, what will I have to multiply to get by 100 to get 100 rand? And then you say, I'll give this. I'll give my 1 rand. So that God will multiply it by 100 and I'll get 100 rand. No. That is not how it works. The Lord will prompt you to give 1 rand. And then he knows that you have access now to a 100-fold return. Will you now access what is there for you? I'm just dwelling on this because I know that it's big to us. And especially with us having just started here, we have not spoken about prosperity. We have not spoken about God extravagantly blessing us. That's not the message that God had not allowed us to speak about those things. But that doesn't mean that we don't believe in God prospering us. So now God is making this message clear to us that you have to understand that he wants to shower you with his love. Amen. His favor is upon you already. So just receive what he has for you. Just receive it. And you don't have to deserve it. It's not because you've done something for God, but it's because your Father loves you. Haters, remember, haters do not stop his acts of showing his love toward you. The fact that people will speak about you, you must remember now. Bazalwane, you have to understand this. When you start prospering as the Lord is prospering you, just like this boy Joseph that was receiving so much love from his father and him getting the coat of many colors, his brother started speaking bad about him. Genesis chapter 37 verse 4 told us that they started speaking bad, and people will come up with stories. No, we know him. He's stealing the money. We know him. He's robbing people. Just, you know what? We have to understand that their hate and them speaking badly about you as God blesses you, it is never going to stop God from showing his love towards you. So God will prosper you and prosper you and prosper you more. He uses his favor toward you to draw others to himself. God tells us that when he had Israel, he said he wanted the other nations to look at Israel and say, it looks like our God is not as good as their God. So probably the God to follow is their God. And then people would follow him. So when God prospers you, when God does things for you, he's doing it deliberately. He wants people to see his favor upon your life. And when his favor is upon your life, then people will say, but why is he getting so much favor? Why are these things happening for him? And then people will say, it's because of his God. And then they will come and want to know this God. So you have to desire. You are not helping God by not desiring to receive his love and prosperity that he wants to bring to your life. You're not helping him, but you're letting him down. God can draw more people to you if you would be different to the people that you live with. So, Bazalwane, this is a call to us to believe God for big things. Let us believe God for big, big, big things. Don't limit God. Don't say, but I don't have. No, God is not saying, I will supply you according to your riches. He says, I will supply you according to my riches in glory. How? In Christ. The last thing that we just have to do as God's people is just to receive His favor. Just receive it. So today I want us to leave our old ways of thinking. Oh, poor me. Who am I? Ach, shame. I was born in a wrong family. Ach, shame. I don't have what they have. Therefore, I just have to be like this. Stop it. Stop it, because God is not looking at you through what you have. He's looking at you through what Jesus Christ has made available for you. So God will treat you better than you deserve. You know, we all manage to live through a lot of things because we all have a strong desire to survive and live. Some of us have a strong desire in such a way that we say we can even live through poverty. But as long as we live long, because we still have what hope that one day things will change. So we will live. So we apply our faith to live long and have that life. You know what? Even though we may be struggling. So our faith works. We've applied our faith to survive. How many people that died before they got to my age? Before they got to your age. You have applied your faith to still be alive today. Your faith works. It has gotten you where you are. But you've applied it in this one area. Now, let's start understanding that we have a coat of many colors. So let us not be limited then by just what we are dealing with. This coat is not one color. So if I've enjoyed health in my body, I must not say this is all that God wanted me to have. God had other things for me. Let me open my heart to Him and let me receive those things. I just want us to pray before we close. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive your word this morning. The word that tells us that you have given us a coat of many colors, a coat that sets us apart, a coat that shows your great affection towards us. Father God, your love is great and mighty towards us. Lord, we have lived below what you've provided for us. Now today, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we open our hearts to you. And Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to understand all that you have given to us. Help us, Father, to receive. We know that the Holy Spirit has come to help us. So now in faith, we say, help us, Holy Spirit. We want to walk in all that the Father has provided for us. So Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we receive everything that you've provided for us, Father. We receive that you treat us as what you have called us to be, kings and priests. We receive the royal treatment, Father God. Father God, we thank you for the understanding of how the priests lived in the olden days. They dwelt in the best cities. They ate the best food. They had the best clothes. Those were ordinary priests. Your word says we are the royal priesthood. So Father God, today help us that we be not ashamed to prosper, to receive your great prosperity. And Father, in Jesus' mighty name, right now, together with my brother and sisters here, we receive now you showering us with your blessings, financial blessings, material blessings. Father, we receive that all our needs be met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we receive that we have more abundantly, above all that we even require, Father, or even can even think of, Father. We pray that we will have more, because your word says, as we have more, we'll be able to abound to every good work. So, Father God, we receive then the manifestation of the blessing of God upon our lives in terms of our health, our finances, our social lives as well, Father. We receive this in the name of Jesus Christ as our minds or our souls prosper. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this. Amen.